Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dying times here.
Woo! Hey everybody, it's the new episode tonight, and guys, I got a serious question. Coming up on Easter pretty soon. I don't know how long it has until we hit the day of Zombie Jesus, but peeps, where you stand?
No. No.
I hate them all the time. I love them.
Oh, peeps are vomitous garbage.
I wouldn't say that. Just give me the chocolate.
Yeah, peeps are the most vile, besides those Necco wafers.
Oh.
The most vile
candy. I eat Necco wafers, and I eat peeps.
Ugh.
And you know what I can't? I've noticed this year something disturbing.
Yes.
The only place I found them, and I bought a bunch when I was there, is Target. But like all of my grocery stores, like all of the big box stores that have all the Easter candy and shit.
Uh-huh.
Nobody. Do you guys remember the chocolate covered? But there were like marshmallow eggs. They're like marshmallow filling with like chocolate cover.
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of.
Can't find them anywhere. That was a staple.
Okay, we're in.
And I don't know, man. Supply chain or something, I guess. But Target has.
Dude, any candy or candy bar that like, I don't hate marshmallows. Marshmallows are great, but they ruin every, like, you can't, you got, it's just fucking me and marshmallows.
It's a marshmallow filling. It's not an actual marshmallow.
Oh, well, yeah. Like,
it's really good.
Marshmallows on s'mores, and that's about it.
Yeah, no, it's not marshmallows like that. It's a different consistency, and it's a little bit sweeter. And to me, marshmallows really don't taste like anything.
Yeah.
The marshmallow filling actually tastes good.
Well, I went out to Walmart to buy some more frames because I found, like, some. I've got art coming out of my fucking asshole over here at my house, man, that I've bought it the last 10 years at conventions that I've never hung. So I went and bought some poster frames. They have a whole fucking aisle of peeps. And it's just, yeah. It's watermelon, fruit punch peeps, apple peeps. And I'm just like, I want to.
You know, you only get
down.
Them this time of year. So, oh,
fuck, they're gross.
And people love them. A lot of people love them.
Yeah.
I was going to say, people that buy the crap out of them.
I don't do all the weird fucking flavored peeps. Like, I will get, and I actually tore through a pack of peeps already. And that's probably the only ones that I'll eat this season. But I do the normal, just regular marshmallow. Marshmallow peeps.
The yellow ones?
And I do, and they're chickens, man. Don't give me no fucking bunny rabbits. A peep is a chicken.
That's true.
I'll eat the yellow ones and the blue. You can do different colors on them, but they better goddamn be chickens, because if it's a bunny rabbit peep, even though it's the same shit, it doesn't taste right.
But why is that? Okay, so I get that theory, but why is it then if a Reese cup is egg-shaped, it's better for some reason than a normal Reese cup?
Because there's less chocolate.
It's weird that.
No, it's all about the proportions, and I think that's why I like chicken peeps better than bunny rabbit peeps, because, you know, and the same thing with the Reese's cups, and that's why the little tiny ones aren't as good as the bigger ones, because
that's
there's
true.
More chocolate.
Yeah.
There's too much chocolate, not enough peanut butter.
So you got to get the gold ratio right.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm also with you. I'll turn my nose up and walk away from a peanut butter cup. But those peanut butter eggs, and there's just something about the ratio that is just perfect.
It's way better.
Yeah.
Anyway, how you guys been?
I've been pretty good.
Been good, Tim?
Sure.
How's life in Pittsburgh, man? I see those chuds are getting a little fucking wacky out there, man.
Oh, just been tiring out here.
Busting chuds, dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Outside of that, it's been fine. Just watching movies.
What did
you
watch?
Doing stuff, making movies. Oh, God. Give me a second, because I was doing a Gross Fest update.
Oh. Who died this time? Was it Stallone?
No one died.
Bieber?
I was just letting people know.
I don't know, dude. I don't know what the fuck. That spam is... it's infecting every group I'm in, man. Justin Bieber died.
Yeah,
Stallone died.
It's
fucking ridiculous.
I fixed it. I now take the time to have to approve everything.
Yes, that's what it comes down to.
Kyle, it got 10 times worse. I'm doing like 7 or 8 a day.
Oh, it's fucking, I will 100% guarantee you.
It is literally one of those things, like, it just does not stop, and I don't get it. I don't understand it.
It's internet herpes.
All right, I'll tell you why they do it. Because if you click on it, and I don't recommend clicking on it, no. It takes you to a website that is nothing but a bunch of ads. Yeah. And if anybody touches one of those ads, they get money. So it's the people who are like, oh my God, Justin Bieber died, and they click, and then like there's all these ads, or the ads might even spoof like a news article, and you click it and you're directed to an ad site. But if the advertisers, and even though it's bullshit, they get no business, if the advertisers see a click come from a link they put out, you get paid. So they figured out how to game the system. So what you have is people just, and it's all over C shit. They'll just dump this fucking stuff out there, and then they'll drive the traffic to add to different ads. And the ad people haven't figured out yet that it's bullshit and they're not getting any business from it. But as long as you get, and it's pennies on a dollar, but if you get enough traffic, you make money.
I just blame India for any kind of horseshit like this that happens.
Well, that's racist.
It may be, but it's also every fucking call I get on my phone is fucking, hello, my name is Paul Smith. Yeah, right, Paul Smith. Whatever, dude. Get the fuck off my phone.
Yeah, but like, I mean, now that does come from India. But a lot of this, like, auto traffic shit, you can track it to either the old Soviet bloc countries or places in the Far East. Places like, what is it, like Thailand and shit like that. There's a lot of, that's where, and there's whole, and but the call centers, that is definitely Indian.
Yeah. You ever watch those videos of the guys that are really good on computers, like,
oh yeah,
turn the tables actually, on them?
Yeah, and not only that, but there's one guy so good at it that he actually, like, will hijack their machines, find out a geotag, and start sending them pictures of the building. Uh-huh. But the best part is when they're really fucking stupid and don't have their machines locked down, he turns the webcam on and starts sending them pictures of them.
Yeah.
Selves. Yeah. It's satisfying. But the reason, you close it down and the same fucking people open one up literally in the same building in a different office suite.
Yeah, those guys are fucking horrible scumbags, shitballs.
And they go after, they steal grandma's money. They sure. You know, they all scams. It's all bullshit.
Yep. Anyway, Tim, what did you watch this week, sir?
I believe, trying to think. I think, yeah, because we covered Invaders from Mars, so I got to talk about Scream of the Blind Dead, which was fucking dumb. But anyhow.
You talked about that last week, I remember.
Yeah, that was just fucking terrible. What's up?
I told you so.
Well,
is that the Dustin Ferguson one?
No, this is the Alexander one.
Oh, yeah, and Tim.
Yeah,
I'm probably going to mention a couple things today that you're going to want to run out and fucking watch, and I'm going to telling you right now not to do it.
Okay. Of course, I watched Dead Don't Die. I watched Dracula Live from Transylvania.
What?
It's a TV movie where George Hamilton's basically doing a documentary of The Legend of Dracula from 1989.
Suddenly you said that title and I was like, did Dracula do a telethon? And if that's not the way it happened, it totally should have.
It's kind of that way. It's worth tracking down on YouTube and watching. It was funny and actually informative. It was good because it covers everything. And, of course, Hamilton does throw in a couple jabs about Love at First Bite during the broadcast.
Yeah.
But it's something I do not remember even existing. Also watched a movie called Wild Blade. It was some kind of college film project that had Stephen Jeffries in it. It was made in New York, 1991. It wasn't a horror movie. It's like a dramatic, like he was a comedian's boyfriend and the comedian just up and dies. And it's like the aftermath. Watched Doomsday Stories, which is an indie film playing at Grossfest, along with Night of the Axe, which is a fun first time feature from a filmmaker named Sean Wright that's going to play at Grossfest. Also, Matt Cannon did the music for it. Watched another indie movie called Macabre Medicine. and it's some dude's like college project that he's now making a crapload of other movies now. And it was something he finally he's just trying to put out there and make some money off of it, because he was explaining to me how much money he lost trying to make the thing back then. Watch Blood Scarab, some movie out of print Dan said that I needed to watch. And if you ever needed a bad softcore version of Elizabeth Bathory and Vlad Dracula being married, and she basically enjoys him dying so she could just play with her girlfriend for the whole movie, and Brink Stevens plays a curator at a museum, then here's your movie. Also watched Chris Leto's Death Blow, which was actually surprisingly not, I shouldn't say surprisingly good, but surprisingly, like, I was expecting boobs and stuff like that throughout it, and it's not. It's literally, you've seen the movie before, but it is just played for no laughs, kind of straightforward. Some dude has a rental property, basically is losing a ton of money, and he finds somebody had overdosed and has $500,000 in his property, and he just decides, hey, I'm going to get rid of the body, I'm going to take the money, we're all going to be good. But of course, somebody comes looking for that, for the money, is what it comes down to. And it's a good movie. Huh. I enjoyed it. Also watched Mail Order Murder, the story of Wave Productions, which was fun.
Oh, I watched that today on Tubi.
Yes, that was where I watched it. I watched it Friday, and I really enjoyed that movie. Also realized that's why I cannot find Sleepover Massacre, is because they made it, but it's, like, not available.
Yeah, they made it for one per. Explain what those dudes are.
Oh, yeah, literally, okay. Besides, they make their own movies. You were able to send in scripts or pay them to make you a movie. Like, they literally catered to one person. And this is how they kept the catalog so big. And they had people like Ron Bonk and forget the guy's name that ran Draculina. And there was a few magazines basically just saying, like, the amount of orders they would get through their magazines during the late 90s into the early 2000s of people ordering these movies. Like, they were saying, like, how much money they would just make off of this stuff was ridiculous, because they were selling the movies $30 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
And at most of the time when people would order one, the very next order 2 weeks later, it would be like, hey, I'm now going to order a dozen. Because they were just into these people's movies, but also found out Wave Productions. They're like, hey, we can, you know, if I'm going to send you a script, and they would make the movie.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Different stuff. There was a couple of things on there. It has people, Art Edinger is on there, Tina Krause is on there, Bookwalder is on there, William Hellfire, which I've seen a few things from him, Mike Gingold, who used to write for Fango, was talking about it, and just explaining how hard it was to review some of these movies at times. Watch that. Also watched another documentary, what was that called? Because I want to get this name right. Because, Kyle, if you haven't seen this, you'll probably want to go watch it. Where are you? Give me one second. Oh, there we go. Murder in the Front Row, the San Francisco Bay
Holy
Area.
Holy shit, I watched that on Tubi, too.
I found it on YouTube.
That's on Tubi. Yeah, the history of thrash metal.
My brother seen it when it first came out. I think he watched it on demand, paid for it. It's been out for a couple of years, I believe. And I seen it popped up this week on YouTube, and I was like, oh, I'm going to watch this.
Mm-hmm.
So I checked it out, and, dude, that was a lot of fun. And I watched anybody that's into Kevin Strange and Home Hack Movies, .com, watched – he had a collection of short film stuff he hadn't released before. If you're into his two characters, Nixon and Hogan, which I always thought were funny – this was some early stuff from like 05, 06, stuff like that. And this was all kinds of unreleased stuff. And it was a lot of fun and a lot of promo videos that he never released also. And just if you're a Hack Movies fan or a Kevin Strange fan, you'll enjoy the stuff. So that's what I watched.
John, what'd you get into?
Well, I had some fun. There's two gems that I found, but when we get to them, I'll point them out. First movie I watched is called Phantom of Chinatown from 1940. Remember, I always talk about, like, you know, the Charlie Chan movies, and in this case, it's the Mr. Wong movies, where they put, like, a white actor in yellow face. Well, this was an interesting one, because in 1940, they had Boris Karloff for six movies, this little, like, Poverty Row studio, and they used him for a horror film. So the last Mr. Wong movie, they didn't have him anymore, so they actually cast Ke Luk as Mr. Wong. And it's also apparently the first time that Hollywood ever did a prequel. Oh, because wow. this was the first Mr. Wong movie. The first Mr. Wong story was the last movie they made. And it's a really good flick. Phantom of Chinatown is really good. Ke Luk is awesome. But unfortunately, and this is what people don't seem to understand, is they always bitched and moaned about white actors playing Asian characters. And I understand that. But when... In 1940, they tried to sell a very popular character like Mr. Wong, and they put the movie out, but it was starring Ke Luk. It was interesting. My research showed that the studio, they couldn't get anybody to book it. Whereas the one that came out literally 4 months earlier with Boris Karloff went everywhere. So this was when the studios would always say, we'd love to cast a proper actor in the role, but we don't believe that America will support a movie headlined by a minority. This was the example. They tried it in 1940, and it face planted. So, but it's actually a really awesome movie, and it sucks that it didn't take off, because Ke Luk is like awesome in the role. Ke Luk, ironically, is also in another movie where he plays that I'm going to talk about today. Where he plays Charlie Chan's son. So Ke Luk wasn't working a lot in the 30s and 40s. Here's a movie that Tim should not ever watch, but he will. Here's a movie nobody should ever watch. It's from 2020, and it's a Chinese monster movie called Land Shark.
Yeah, I've been debating on that one.
Well, come back next week for Tim's review of Land Shark.
This is a stupid story with awful CGI special effects, and the whole point of the movie is, what happens if you try to cure cancer by splicing earthworm DNA onto a shark? Well, you don't cure cancer, but you can make a shark that can swim in dirt.
Wait, I've heard isn't that the plot for... No, they were trying to cure Alzheimer's and splitting the DNA with sharks.
Yes. Land Shark is... there's a whole batch of Chinese movies that pull, like, plot bits from here and there and everywhere else, and then shit them out with some really awful CGI. And it's made for the Chinese market, and they're just finding their way over here. Like, Landshark just showed up on YouTube. They're not even trying to sell the fucking thing. It's for free on YouTube. Please,
yeah,
no one watch Landshark. Don't
yeah,
do
there
it.
There is a bunch of that. It's showing up on Tubi, like Korean and Chinese films they're buying them in the buttloads or something.
Yeah, and of course we know there's one person who I cannot convince not to watch Landshark. So Maddie, good luck.
Maddie was busy this week watching quality cinema like Freddy Got Fingered.
Yeah, fuck that movie. so Tim.
Yeah.
Here's a movie you do need to watch. And there's two names that are gonna make you want to watch this movie if you haven't watched it yet. 1976, Mansion of the Doomed. Have you heard of this movie?
Yes.
All right, Kyle, it's a drive-in movie, and you got a doctor played by Richard Basehart who gets into a car accident, his daughter goes blind, and he starts tearing people's eye, well, surgically, removing people's eyeballs, keeping them in the basement, and then transplanting the eyeballs into his daughter to try to give her vision back.
I believe we did this on the show once.
This is supposed to be like one of the first full moon movies or something
it's
like that.
It's not full moon, but it is produced by Charlie Band.
Yes.
And it's directed by drive-in legend actor Michael Pataki. Okay? And you get a cameo by Vic Tayback as a detective. But the best part of the movie is the first victim is the doctor who was dating this guy's daughter, who dumped the daughter as soon as she went blind. and he spends the entire movie with no eyeballs in the basement. It's Lance Henriksen.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You're telling me there is a quote unquote movie with Charles Band involved starring Lance Henriksen, and Tim has never seen this? Lance Henriksen
is a big part. He's in the basement with no eyeballs.
I think I've seen a very cut version of this.
Yeah, I watched the uncut version, and it's awesome. But you know what the best part is?
I haven't seen this recently.
I was loving the special effects.
Yeah.
It's fucking Stan Winston.
Oh.
That makes sense. That tracks.
So you got Pataki directing. You've got Henriksen and Basehart. You got special effects. And you got Vic Tayback showing up as a detective for a hot minute. This is a really, and I also have this kind of like, you know, when I always talk about certain things that push my buttons, eye violence pushes my buttons. And they keep showing surgeries of like eyeballs and then seeing them with like holes where their eyes should be because he's like removing the whole fucking thing. It's awesome.
Kyle, it's on Plex for free.
Yeah. Mansion of the Doomed. Kyle. Mansion of the Doomed is gonna become your favorite Charles Band movie.
Okay.
And he just this is remember this is 1976 when he still cared.
Okay. Yeah. There's a big difference. Yeah, that makes a difference.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm writing that down so I could go revisit this.
Yeah. Right. And this is a drive-in movie. It is a total fucking 70s drive-in movie because I looked at where it got released and it wasn't like a lot of ton of. It played in the drive-ins for like two summers. And I don't know how I'd never seen it before, but I absolutely love this one. This is gem of the week number one. I do have another one I'll talk about later.
Okay.
I found a made-for-TV movie called Sweet, Sweet Rachel. And it's basically, you know, it's not a great movie, but it is a made-for-TV, so I had to watch it. It's an ABC movie of the week, so, you know, I got that book that I check out, mark things through. And it's basically like a psychic ghost, well, not really, not ghost, but like a psychic power being used to murder people kind of movie. The good psychic is played by Chris Robinson. Chris Robinson.
From the Black Rose?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, dude, don't even say it like that. That's my dude from Stanley.
Oh, okay.
He's the main character, the Indian from Stanley. And this was shot in the Florida area. But, you know, Kyle, you'll get it. You know that South Park episode where they're like, you know, Cartman gets psychic powers and they have the psychic off like, me, ba, 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 ba.
I don't watch South Park too much, honestly.
Oh, you suck.
Yeah.
But it's got a ridiculous ending. It is complete cheese. It's not great. It's a little slow, but it's Chris Robinson, and I have to watch all the ABC movies of the week. So I got to check that one off. I found that one. That one also showed up on YouTube, in case you guys is wondering. I dove into Amazon because Amazon put out a shit ton of stuff.
Yeah, they
picked up a ton of movies that they just dumped on their streaming.
Yeah, they one did. They didn't tell nobody. They're just like, here. They just farted it on Amazon.
No, there was like seven or eight articles. You're just not looking in the right place.
No, I've been killing a lot of ads on my fucking shit.
One of the movies they put that got released, it's a Blumhouse flick called Unhuman from 2022. And it's a field trip with annoying teenagers that gets interrupted by zombies or maybe infected. It's from the director, Marcus Dunstan, of the Collector series.
Oh, I like that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it jumps the shark about halfway through. You find out, and spoilers, okay, everybody, I'm giving you time to turn the fucking whatever you're listening to off.
Ooh. Nobody's listening. So
like halfway through, there's a weird fucking twist where you find out, like, the people that get infected aren't really infected. They're being shot up with a party drug that basically caused them to trip balls. And it's two fucking nerds that are trying to score with these two chicks and be the hero and teach the bullies a lesson. And, of course, it makes no sense because people start getting fucking hurt for real and dying, you think. And it's like trying to be clever, and it ends up being really fucking stupid. Not a good movie. I don't recommend checking it out. It's called Unhuman. And this is the kind of shit that Blumhouse used to make. They used to make me never want to watch Blumhouse movies. They've made enough stuff that I enjoy, that I don't blame them because everybody's going to shit the bed once in a while. This is a total shit the bed. And the only reason I watched it because I'm like, oh, Marcus Dunstan. Okay, Collector. I mean, this should be interesting. They tried something different. It fucking sucked. It failed. Then I watched one that really pissed me off. And I don't know who this fucking guy is, but there's a whole series of haunting documentaries. And this one, I watched the first one called A Haunting on Dice Road, The Hell House from 2016. It's a documentary, and I'm doing air quotes. It showed up. You know, it's bullshit. Like they're clearly doing gags because there's no fucking way that they set a camera in a kitchen, and they're supposed to be at this house one fucking night. Doors open, radios turn on and off, orbs float around, faucet turns on and off. Now, if you're, EVP sessions and folks walking around jumping at every sound, somebody gets pushed down, oh my God, somebody grabbed me, bah! You know, guys, if you were playing this up as a fucking joke and not pretending to actually say that it's a documentary and that it's real, fine. They're actually trying to sell this bullshit as real. And you can see how they're doing the gags. Like, there are times where you can see how they're doing the fucking gags.
Sounds like some Jake Baggins bullshit. Zach Baggins, excuse me.
So, any of these haunting documentaries on Amazon, avoid them like the plague. They're bullshit. Now, are you guys ready? Uh-huh. I got number two. This is the other gem of the week, and I'm not going to talk too much about it because I'm picking it for the show next week.
Okay, I can write this down.
Nightlight from 1989.
Yes.
Oh, this is the one you were telling me about Scott Grimes is in. I've never seen
it. Scott Grimes, Critters fan.
Yeah.
He's Archie. There's high school bullies, chemical spills. Yep. John Astin's head explodes.
John Astin.
Zombified teenagers. And there's this super hot blonde. I'm like, I know her. She's the not virgin sister from Monster Squad.
Yeah. Nightlife was one of those movies. It kept getting mixed up with a USA vampire film called Nightlife.
Yes. Okay.
That also became a TV series. But also, too, the one with Scott Grimes actually was out of print, like I said, until at least the late 90s into the early 2000s, I would always see it.
It's back out of print.
Okay, that explains a lot.
DVD copies are stupid expensive.
Yeah, I've seen this.
It is on the Magic website.
Because it used to be like that, Spookies. There was a few of them. Nightlife was a part of them. And I remember asking a few people the first couple of Wastelands I went to, and when I would mention Nightlife, they would always be like, are you talking about the vampire thing was on USA? I'm like, no. It's like, no, there is this one with Scott Grimes in it.
Yeah, it's actually a lot of fun. If you can't get it, Tim, it's on the Magic website, but it's cool. It came out in 1989, but that was like the sweet spot of me renting stuff, and this is one I'd never caught before.
I remember seeing it. I remember watching it.
I remember the cover. I do. I remember the cover as soon as I looked it up online. But I was like, Jesus. And then I've had it. God knows how long it's been sitting in my to-watch pile that I just never got around, and I finally dug it up.
I was going to tell Dan to get me, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, I found a copy. Oh, man. It's got to be years. Years ago, I found like a bootleg copy.
You know, there are, and I'm not bragging, and it's not really a brag because, you know, it just shows how little life I've had in my adulthood. But there's very few 80s horror films, especially 80s American horror comedies, that I've never seen. In fact, I would have claimed that I don't think there's any out there. Well, this was one, and it is actually. And most of the time when I find something like this, because I'm looking at it going, well, I've never heard of it. It seems like it'd be right up something that I would have loved when I was younger, which means it's probably a piece of shit. No, it's good.
It's actually good. I was going to say, I think this was actually reviewed in my very first book I ever written. That's probably
I won't keep talking about it because I do want to save it for next week.
Yeah, I used to see this on bootlegger tape, like this, the Monster Squad, Spooky.
Oh, yeah, this had a life of its own because you couldn't find it.
The Graveyard Shift, the one about the vampires, not the one about the rats.
Yeah, the taxi cab.
Yeah. Graveyard Shift 2.
All right. I watched Mysterious Island again, 1961 classic, Captain Nemo, giant chickens, giant bees, you know, old school stop motion effects from the master. That's always a good time. Guys, so I do this. I watch some stuff on VHS. And I do this analog column under a pseudonym for a different magazine. Uh-huh. And so I always look for like the weirdest fucking shit. And most of the time it's miserable. And this one was not exactly fun either, but it's the weirdest fucking thing I think I've seen in a long time. It's from 1987. And it's called Terror on Alcatraz. And you guys know, remember Aldo Ray from the 50s and 60s?
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. So, like, when they made this movie, he was well into his 60s. All right? Uh-huh. So he's an old guy in a fedora and a raincoat. And he's playing the character. He's playing the real-life version of the guy who escaped from Alcatraz, the one that Eastwood played.
Frank.
And his, yeah.
Something.
Yeah, so he's Frank, right? The whole plot of the story is that Frank is a very bad man because we see him put his cigarette out on his much younger, luscious girlfriend's hooter.
Oh, that's
because
nice.
He's just a dick. Well, Frank decides it's been 20 years since his escape. It is now time for him to go back to Alcatraz because when he and his two buddies broke free, the other two drowned. Well, the other two were the ones that knew where the safety deposit key to the loot they were going to take and live off of. Because there's a fortune in a bank that they have hidden. Well, they died, and he didn't know where it was at, but he did know that they had left a clue in their cell because they told him that. But he waited 20 years to go back, so he finally goes back on a tour, like skips leaving on the tour. But at the same time on the tour were a bunch of kids, and by say kids, I mean like 30-year-olds. You know how the 80s slasher movie. Right.
Yeah.
So all these kids go back to party on Alcatraz and also to see what Frank is up to, because somehow they're like, hey, this guy was a murdering son of a bitch who's been on the run for 20 years. Let's go fuck with him. What could happen?
Yeah.
So it's like this weird fucking crime thing. Then they get to the island, and then for no apparent reason, Frank starts giggling and cackling and grabbing bladed things, and it turns into a weird fucking slasher movie. If you ever wanted to see Jason Voorhees as an old fucking man in a trench coat and a grandpa hat, stabbing the hell out of people and giggling as he goes?
Sure,
why
not?
This is a slasher movie for you.
Okay.
It is a fucking weird movie, okay? And when I wrote my review, I actually put this line in, and I do think it encapsulates what I think about this movie quite accurately. And that line is, it makes Hide and Go Shriek look watchable.
Oh, that's not high praise.
No, it's not good. It's just, I mean, I will say they did a pretty good job on some of the kills, but as far as the movie goes, it's dumb. Because then when he gets off the island, and I'm like, wait, he got off the island? They like knocked him off a cliff. But no, he's off the island in the same clothes, totally dry, and he goes to the bank, and it's a completely dumb twist. Stupid, stupid fucking twist. So I don't recommend Terror on Alcatraz, but it served a really good purpose for like the analog column, because I always look for like weird, stupid shit. And apparently Terror on Alcatraz has never had – it had one VHS release.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
From one company, and it's never seen DVD. It's never seen a legit DVD or Blu-ray release. And this is one of those movies when I said earlier, sometimes you get that and you're like, well, there's a reason. Well, there's a reason. It's not good. Today, I watched Charlie Chan in Shanghai on VHS. My friend Eric, who does Midnight Magazine, he actually hangs out on Facebook groups. And there was a Facebook group where there's a guy's like, I have all my grandma's tapes, and I'm throwing them out. If you want them, come get them. They're free.
Oh.
And so he went over, and he came home with boxes and boxes and boxes of tapes. They're all recorded from television. Or dubbed from VHS rentals.
Cool.
So there are like five movies on a tape. This woman was amazing. I would have loved to have met his grandma, but she had everything you could ever want. She had all that like, grouped into 50s monster movies, 60s movies, dramas. And she had all the Charlie Chan movies. I have six tapes here with over 30 movies on them. Shit. She got them all. And I own all of them on DVD, but I'm going to watch through the VHS tapes. She recorded them in order. Everything's neatly.
Jesus.
Neatly. I like the labels are neatly printed up. She had that. She had horror. She had sci-fi. She had television shows like she had all the Star Treks, the Babylon Fives. She had the entire Friday the 13th, the series.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she was just recording shit off of TV and dubbing tapes. And it's this massive collection. It was super organized, and they were just going to throw it out. That makes me sad.
If you come across Shadow Theater, John.
Well, I'm actually, we tracked it back. We found out who it is, her name, uh-huh. and who she was and where she worked. And I'm going to do a column. And there's lots of materials where I'm going to review two or three movies out of her collection. And I think we're going to call it, you know, I'm going to name the column for her in the magazine.
That's cool.
So that we can actually kind of like, I never met her, but I just have this feeling she loved all the same shit we did. Dudes, in addition to all the stuff I mentioned, you know what else she had a shit ton of? Poirot and Murder, She Wrote. This woman was my spirit animal.
That's why you're right. I thought I seen a post. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just like, holy shit, she's awesome. So yeah, and so I'm you'll be hearing me talk about more Charlie Chan movies, and I'm watching them all on tape, on her tapes, and it was fun. That's the first one. And then the last thing I watched today was a terrible mistake on my part. I watched a movie called The Brain Machine from 1972, And I watched it because it starred James Best, you know, Roscoe from Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, Roscoe, yeah.
It was directed by Joy Houck. And Joy Houck has made some awful fucking movies. The only thing that Houck did that I kind of sort of like was Creature from Black Lake, which is a Bigfoot movie. Mm-hmm. The Brain Machine, I don't even know what the fuck it's about. It's an hour and a half long. There's some conspiracy thing where the government is like experimenting with a computer that gives you your worst dreams, but it's like 20 minutes in before you meet any of the main characters because they're chasing a scientist who stole the plans and the government's tracking him down and ends up shooting him in the face and getting up the stuff he stole back. I don't even know what the fuck this thing was supposed to be. It's so very bad. It's like one of the worst movies I've watched in a long time. It's called The Brain Machine, 1972. It's on YouTube. Tim, do not watch this fucking thing.
Okay.
Again, okay. Turn in next week when Tim reviews The Brain Machine.
Don't do it, Tim. Please. Let my sacrifice mean something. And then I watched our three picks, and that's it.
I got some stuff. First thing, I got to recommend this because I fell down a YouTube wormhole. I have found a guy on YouTube that is using, and I want to give credit to where credit's due, but you can find him. I don't have him pulled up right now. This guy does a series of videos, and he's using voice AI, and it sounds like Barack Obama, Donald Trump, and Joe Biden, and what they do is they argue about video games, and it is some of the funniest shit. I spent a whole night watching these videos. It's hilarious, but anyway. That was my YouTube wormhole. I'm finding weird stuff again. Let's see. First one I watched. This might, Tim, you might dig this a lot more than I did. You wouldn't know this was a horror movie by the title or the box art, because it just looks like generic ass movie. It's a movie called The Price We Pay, and it stars Stephen Dorff in. He's got a crew of a couple brothers that rob this pawn shop, and one brother goes psycho, kills everybody in the pawn shop. So I'm just going to call him Brad Dorff, because Stephen Dorff grabs this lady trying to escape, and they take off with her in her car in Texas, and they come on a roadblock. They turn down this long highway, and their car dies, and they see a farmhouse way out yonder. They find a kid in the barn. They say, hey, can we just shack up here for just a little bit? Our brother's coming to get us. We're letting the heat die down. And, of course, what happens is the crazy brother finds that underneath this farmhouse is a mad scientist played by Vernon fucking Wells.
Jeez.
And he has a family of this gigantic, one of them is like this gigantic lady. She's like this monster lady. It's basically kind of a riff on Chainsaw Massacre, only you have like Vernon Wells as like a mad scientist trying to steal body parts to sell on the black market. It's okay. It's like right there between cheap and have a little money behind it. Had a little money behind it, but some of the effects and stuff are kind of cheap, but it's okay. It's pretty fun. I've never seen a kill in which I don't know if there is such a thing as like a barbed wire baler, where it's like this giant upright spinning thing that like kind of bales barbed wire, but there's a character that gets caught in that, and it's pretty fucking crazy. I've never seen that happen in a movie, so I guess that was pretty cool. Found that. Watched that today. I don't like Spike Lee. I don't think I've ever liked a Spike Lee movie, except I watched Crooklyn. I love Crooklyn so much, and I don't know why. I identify with the kids in this movie so much, because they're just like ratty-ass kids in the neighborhood playing fucking strange games, and it's just a really good movie. Like, I didn't fucking grow up in Brooklyn, but all my friends did the same shit that these kids were doing. But it's a good, you know, semi-autobiographical, you know, Spike Lee's life. And I think it's the only Spike Lee movie I like. James Peter Cox got a hold of me and told me that movie, The Devil Conspiracy, was out. So I threw it on. It's kind of the opposite of That Price We Pay. It looks like it's got some awful practical effects in it, but it's still kind of charming, and it's about this priest. It goes the story of the devil getting exiled from heaven and Gabriel chaining him to this rock, and it flash forward like millions of years, and this priest dies, and Gabriel, the devil gets out of hell somehow, and Gabriel takes over his body, and he's an ass kicker for the Lord, and a lot of biblical churchy type stuff. It's basically like, I don't know. It seems like it could have been a video game rather than a movie, but it's also not very good. It's not bad, but it's just okay. I watched Underwater again, 'cause that movie's fucking amazing. Okay. This is pick of the week for me. I would not recommend this movie to you guys, because I think both of you would hate the shit out of this movie. But it's a movie, I think it might be actually up for an Oscar. I think the Oscars are tonight. Have you heard of a movie called Triangle of Sadness?
No.
I've heard the name, and then I heard you talking about it.
Oh, I recommended it. This is a T-shirt Joe movie through and through. I immediately got those vibes and got on Facebook. I'm like, you need to check this out, Joe, because it's great. It's about, it opens up and there's a super hot smoking influencer dating a male model. So these are the type of people we're dealing with here. They're just vapid shitbags of humans, and they're at this, they get in arguments over who's going to pay the bill and how money is so silly. And well, of course it is, because you guys are super rich. And then you get going, and there's this big yacht, this super yacht, where all these rich people are on this like yachting vacation, and the crew has one job and one job only, and that is to make every one of these people's wishes happen and make them all happy and do whatever they want to do, no matter how ridiculous it is. Like, one lady says, I want you guys, the crew, you guys go swimming, you guys have fun. But she doesn't realize that, like, hey, also the boat has to run and stuff, so we can't really do that, and it fucks a lot of shit up. And wouldn't you know it, guess who's the captain of this boat, guys? Woody fucking Harrelson. Yeah. Oh man, the movie picks up when Woody fucking shows up. I think Woody's my favorite working actor today. I just my heart just jumps when Woody shows up. Woody's a drunk. He's drunk the entire fucking time. They have this captain's dinner where the captain is hosting all these people and they're eating the finest of foods and the weather is getting shitty. And they get fucking drunk and it's pretty cool how they do the boat. Like, people will be like at an angle because the boat's at an angle and it's real weird. And shit will be falling off the table and they're just acting like nothing's going on. And it's one of these movies where just like it increasingly gets everything gets worse and worse and worse. So there's a big storm. The toilets back up and flood the boat with shit. Everybody's throwing the fuck up. It is fucking fantastic. But this is where the movie throws you a curveball. The super yacht wrecks. And a lot of people die. I think you have like maybe 7 people wash up on the shore of the boat. You got a guy that worked in the engine room. The lady that was hosting everything, like the head... I guess if she was on a plane, it'd be the head stewardess. This little Mexican lady that was the toilet manager, and 4 super rich people. One of them is paralyzed. You got the male model and the influencer on here. They're fucking clueless people. And it's great because the curve is, this little Mexican lady is in like the captain's escape ship. So she has like a little house. And she actually goes out and can survive and feed these people. And they're expecting her to be like, you know, what she was on the boat. You're just the toilet manager. And she's like, no, fuck that. I'm running the show out here, you motherfuckers. You're beholden to me now. And that's the twist. Like, the little Mexican lady takes over the show. And it's fucking great. I loved it. It was probably going to make one of my top 10 of the year. Actually, maybe not, because Woody doesn't make it on the island. Like, Woody's the captain. There's a scene in here, there's a long part where Woody's just pissed drunk with this Russian guy as shit is filling up the boat. People are just vomiting everywhere. Stuff is falling all over the place. And Woody and this Russian guy are drunk on the intercom reciting the Communist Manifesto. It's fucking hilarious. Oh, so I watched that, and Tim, man, I fucking busted out Tubi today.
Yeah.
First time in a long time. My God. Tubi is on their fucking A game, dude.
Yep, but I think, since you brought that up, I believe Full Moon is gone.
I saw Charles Band's Roadshow on there
today. He still has a few titles, like recent stuff on there, but he did have, like, it. You know how it has its own categories on there?
Well, wouldn't Full Moon, they got their own streaming platform.
They do, but they usually would have their own thing on Tubi also, because what they were doing was he would have it on Full Moon streaming, and then I think it was 30 days after.
Right.
Or 60. Newer stuff would show up on Tubi.
Oh, my God.
Premiered on Full Moon streaming.
I had a fucking goddamn hell of a time watching shit on Tubi. I love those trailer comps. I watched one called Trailer War, which is just a bunch of insane fucking trailers for movies. A lot of those I have heard of, but the trailers are just so fun. Like, the Argo Man trailer is amazing. It's one of my favorites. I watched, you guys heard of AGFA, right? The American Film Genre Archive.
Yes.
They're the guys from, I believe, the Alamo Draft House in Texas. They have one on there called the AGFA Horror Trailer Show. That's really good. It's got a lot of those interstitial things you used to see at the drive-in, like 5 more minutes till the show, and advertisements for the snack bars and stuff. I eat that shit up. That's my favorite. And so I watched that, and that is all I watched this week, guys. So that's that. I do have a nominal sort of... Tim's got some news, so let's get it in the news.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
first, just in case you haven't seen or heard, apparently Kino Lorber is putting out a very soon a new version of Death Machine on Blu-ray, and a lot of people are hoping it's finally that international cut that keeps saying, yeah, we're going to give you the all those cut scenes for that movie. It's in the 1994 movie starring Brad Dourif.
Is that also known as Death Tunnel? Is it the same movie?
No.
No, Death Tunnel's a different movie.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And there's actually two movies called Death Tunnel.
Both of them are terrible.
Yeah, I know the Death Machine's got the cover of the robot hand.
Yes, okay, yeah. I've never loved seen that it. Movie. But yeah, there was always this footage that was seen in Fango magazine. But well, this
is My Bloody Valentine situation. It got hacked.
Yeah, and it's had a couple of releases, and every time this has had a release, it's like, yeah, we didn't get that stuff. And
so they have the material to do it. They're just...
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Kino Lorber, I do have kind of hope since they're, like, putting that out there. The other thing, just in case, because everything's been quiet, in case you didn't know, this past weekend it was announced Amityville Ripper will be coming out sometime soon.
Guess who doesn't give a fuck? Done with that shit. I'm done with it.
I have breaking news.
Yes.
Are you done, Tim?
Oh, I was just gonna say the other Amityville news is Amityville Poo is finally back on track.
Awesome.
Until Amityville Steamboat comes out, fucking, I'm not.
Don't say it too loudly.
That's mod copyright that shit. Amityville Steamboat.
It doesn't matter if you get shit copyrighted. Somebody else still make it.
Yeah, how many cocaine animals movies now do we have?
I don't know, but I'm still salty about Meth Gator.
Yeah, you got ripped off. Meth Gator got ripped off. What is a fucking Cocaine Shark is coming?
Yep.
Oh, dear God. Yeah, I'm kind of glad I don't do the Shitty Shark Show anymore, because there's some Shitty Shark movies coming out that they would have made me watch. But I have breaking news. Are you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Our lives have changed. The world is skewed. There's a glitch in the Matrix. Uh-huh. Laurie Strode and Short Round are Oscar winners.
Okay.
Who's Laurie Strode?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Cool.
And Short Round is an Oscar winner.
Yep.
Good. Have you seen that movie?
I have. I liked it. Jen didn't. I don't think it's... I personally don't think... I don't understand what gets people's Oscars now. I feel like it must be a political thing or somebody's due.
Well, the Oscars haven't been relevant, I say.
Jamie Lee Curtis has deserved an Oscar for a long time. And she's good in Everything Everywhere All at Once. But I didn't come away. You know, there's movies you walk away from going, that guy deserves an Oscar nom. Mm-hmm. I didn't. Maybe Michelle Yeoh. But I didn't feel like anybody else in that movie, like, jumped off the screen at me. And that's not saying I don't think they're good. They're all good. But this is supposed to be the best of the best, right?
Absolutely.
Is it one of those things they feel like they owed her something and this was just a good time?
I'll tell you what, dude. I watched that movie. I did not know that was Jamie Lee Curtis. I looked it up and I was like, holy shit. That's,
yeah. No, I see some right now. I'm gonna go out. This is not really a hot take. I think people would agree with me. If Brendan Fraser doesn't get Best Actor, this whole fucking show is a joke.
Have you seen that?
Well,
yeah,
yeah.
It's
not fun.
Everything, yeah, it is not.
But when you get to the end of that movie,
yeah.
Remember what I just said? You're like, that guy deserves an Oscar.
When he had that relapse and pigged out, I couldn't watch that.
And that just means that guy is that good that he made you that uncomfortable.
Yeah, I couldn't watch him jerk off. I couldn't watch him. It was just that.
You know, and
because you like the guy.
You watch the movie, and when you get to the end of the movie, you're like, that guy deserves an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's fucked up, because basically every time I see Gary Oldman disappear into a character, I'm like, he should get an Oscar. Because Gary Oldman disappears into a character.
Yep.
Anyways, that was all I had to say.
Well, keep us alert and see if Brendan Fraser wins, because he deserves it.
If the timing is what I think it's going to be, we'll be done by then.
Okay. I've been meaning to go back to those Mummy movies. Like I love them. I know they're super good. I remember But I think the last one I saw was the one with The Rock as the Scorpion King. And then
that special effect is terrible. But if you take that out of the movie, it's still a good fucking movie.
Yeah, Kevin, goddamn, the guy who did Deep Rising did those movies, for fuck's sakes.
Kevin Sullivan's in him, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Kevin J. O'Connor's in him. I love that guy.
Yeah.
Okay, news. Here's some. This is the coolest news of the week. I didn't know about this, but evidently in the 90s, there was a Godzilla TV show called Godzilla Island. It's never been available until now. First debuted in 1997. The series of 3-minute shorts ran over 250 episodes and is now on the Godzilla YouTube channel, subtitled in English for the very first time. So we got a whole bunch of new Godzilla stuff. Here's the premise. The year is 2097. Monsters live and frolic on Godzilla Island under the watchful eye of the G-Guard, a human peacekeeping force, a massive belligerent UFOs, heading straight for the island. How long can that peace last?
It's basically a recycled version of Destroy All Monsters.
Cool, so everybody's in this.
It's my understanding, yeah.
Nice.
And it's been out a long time with fan dubs, but you're right. This is the first time they did anything official.
So real quick, give me your two top Godzilla villains.
Well, I mean,
Ghidra.
Ghidra, okay.
No love.
You gotta have Mecha Godzilla.
No love for Mothra, Tim. Come on.
No. Mechagodzilla, I can't argue with.
You said villain. Mothra's not a villain.
Well, yeah. Sometimes they fight. I mean, just like...
No, Mothra is fighting to get Godzilla on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
Mothra's a good guy. Don't do that, Kyle.
I like...
It's awesome.
I like Angris.
Mechagodzilla's got to be the best.
It's pretty cool.
He's got rocket fingers.
Sure he does. I like Angris because he's got a big knife face. I believe that's his name. Yeah, Angris. And I love Biollante.
Sorry guys, but I'm old school.
Yeah.
I gotta go Rodan.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good fucking... I was so happy in the Godzilla movies where I'm like, oh shit, it's fucking Rodan.
Out of that volcano.
Yeah, they worked Rodan and they worked Mothra, and I'm like, you got me, boys.
King Ghidra in that because it was like three heads. And the one head didn't like the other head. They would fight all the time.
I don't understand the whole love for Monster X. Never got that.
Monster X is okay.
Yeah, but like people like have a giant heart on for Monster X.
Yeah. Smog Monster too. Which actually has a name. I just can't remember it.
I hate Biollante because I'm like, it's a fucking houseplant. Fuck you.
Yes.
It's a rose. I love it. Yes. I love his design. I love that it's a house. It's a rose. I love that's one of my favorite Godzilla movies.
To me, that's
when
they were bankrupt and had run out of ideas.
Yes, cool. I was so disappointed with that movie.
Oh, you guys are nuts. Biollante for president, sirs. Okay. Do you want to get into some, this might be bullshit because Bloody Disgusting was having a slow news day?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's have fun picking on him.
Okay, because this is my Bloody Disgusting guy, and I don't believe a word this fucker says, because he's my nemesis. Sam Raimi is out there talking about how he wants to make Drag Me to Hell Part 2.
Why?
I don't know how he could... That to me, that movie to me is just such a singular movie. It got in, it was fun as shit, and did its job. We don't need a sequel.
All right. Here's the deal. This is the movie that I would watch. Ash is fighting Deadites, falls down a hole into hell, has to rescue the chick and get her out of hell. I'll watch that movie.
I think you'd have to make that movie 10 to 15 years ago.
No. I didn't say it would be good and watchable, but I would watch that movie.
I'd watch Drag Me to Hell too, but. I don't know.
That movie, Drag Me to Hell, it's a one-off.
For sure.
There are some movies that just, like everybody wants and all due respect to the fan film that just came out, everybody was like, oh, wouldn't it have been great if they had My Bloody Valentine 2 or 3? I'm like, no. No. You have a perfect fucking movie. Leave it alone. Not everything needs 12 sequels.
Yeah, that remake, though, was pretty good.
The remake is an acceptable movie, but if you go back, when's the last time you watched it?
4 or 5 years ago.
The CGI is terrible.
Well, there you go, 4 or 5 years ago. Actually, probably longer than that.
The CGI is awful. The Tom Atkins kill.
Where he hooks him under the jaw.
It's fucking awful.
There was a bunch of movies like that that were, they were cool movies, but they had shit. Drive Angry was one of those that was a really cool movie, but had shit CGI.
You know, can I ask you guys a question? Because I have noticed something, and it makes me happy.
Yeah.
I have noticed that horror films, and I don't know if it's a pushback from the filmmakers or from the fans bitching about the CGI, but have you guys noticed that movies are trying to do more practical effects again? Because for a while there was like zero effort. You just do it digital. It's quick, it's cheap, it's easy.
Yeah.
And it looks good. Well, it does.
Also looks like shit sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think, Tim?
I think it's starting to creep back in. It might just be depending on what we're watching. But I don't think you're wrong in that, because it seems to be – I do agree that it is kind of odd that you'll watch a movie with a – with a bunch of computer-generated effects, and then all of a sudden you'll start running into movies like where you're expecting the CGI and it's not there.
Yeah.
It's practical.
And it's like, I've noticed that, because I'm watching new movies going, well, this is going to – wait, holy shit, was that latex? Did they actually – and that, I will say, that gets my attention pretty quick.
Yeah.
I think that movie, The Price We Pay, that I watched had about half and half. And there's a scene where the guy's head gets knocked off by a cylinder of compressed air. It looks like dog shit. But
well,
they've got people in masks that are missing half of faces. It all looks pretty cool.
Yeah, but it's, you know, if they can't pull that effect off, then tell me how the fuck they managed to pull it off in Street Trash with no money. Because you get the same fucking thing where the guy loses his head to a can of compressed air.
Mm-hmm. That part was CGI, and it looked,
yeah, and it's like, you could do it because they did it and they had no money.
It looked doo doo.
Speaking of Street Trash,
yeah,
Mike Lackey wrote a behind the scenes article in the just now released Grindhouse Resurrection issue 2, and not only did Mike Lackey the bum himself write the article, but there's 5 or 6 pictures that have never been published anywhere else ever before behind the scenes.
Cool.
That are only available in the magazine that I'm the editor of, Grindhouse Resurrection. Issue 2 just came out.
Cool.
Was that too whorish of me? Or was it just whorish enough, Tim? You're the expert on whoring yourself out, Tim. What was it, good?
It's fine with me.
It's a pass.
God damn it, Tim, I'm fucking with you and I can't even get a rise out of you.
No, you're fine. Whatever, hey, believe me, whatever you think is whoring yourself out, believe me, it's been done already.
Tim's done it.
No, I haven't. I've seen it, if anything. I just can't top it, period.
Well, at least Tim isn't out there making the Gates of Hell part 3. And
is there a part 3 now?
Well, I'm assuming that's that Dustin Ferguson nonsense.
Well, there is a part 2, you know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's bullshit.
Yeah.
In name it's only. Dumb.
Yeah, it was dumb.
That is all the news I got, except for Tim, your boy Rico Browning left us this week.
Yeah, that sucked. But dude, I mean, good life.
No shit, 95, I think.
Was it 95 or 93? Something, I mean, either like way, good life.
Fucking Burt Gordon passed away.
Yeah, dude.
And he was 100.
I thought was dead in the 70s.
No, you met him at Wasteland.
I don't think I've ever met
him. Thought he was dead then?
I've never met that guy.
You were at Wasteland because I was bitching to you how much he was charging.
I didn't go meet him. I've never met that dude.
Okay, you were in the fucking room with him at Wasteland.
Yeah, that's I probably thought he was dead.
He was moving around pretty lively for a dead fella.
Well, fucking 100 years old, that dude won. And
if anybody is sad about Rob, whatever the guy from Beretta was.
Robert Blake.
Rob Blake.
Yeah. If anybody's sad Robert Blake is dead, can I just invite you to eat a bowl of dicks?
He did murder his wife.
Yeah, he is a flat-out killer.
Oh, speaking of which, did you guys watch the Chris Rock special?
Yes.
No.
It's pretty good.
I disagree.
Really?
Yeah. The Will Smith thing at the end was good. And I love Chris Rock. And I didn't think it was funny all the way through. I think he got too political. Because he was, well, and I'm not even like saying, I don't care. I'm not like, I hate politics. No, no. I'm just like, he was so trying to make points that I don't think he was as funny as he normally is.
I thought it was okay. I thought he went pretty light on Will Smith personally.
Well, but he finished the show with, well, no, he called him a little bitch like 12 times.
Yeah.
In a minute. So I wouldn't, he's like, all the rappers thought he was a little bitch, you know.
You beat up Pookie from New Jack City.
Yeah, that was, no, that had me laughing. He's like, you played Muhammad Ali. He's like,
I played Pookie. I did. No, I felt a little justified when he was talking about, hey, the same people that are bitching about we can't listen to R. Kelly anymore are the same people that are still listening to Michael Jackson. Because I do that.
Well, yeah, but no, but if you listen to what he said, yeah. He's like, no, no. Michael Jackson's better than R. Kelly, so maybe there's a... Yeah, that's why what's the selective outrage was his whole thing. He had an axe to grind, and I don't think it was as funny as he normally is.
Motherfucker. Dude, he accomplished his goal. He said, I'm not going to talk about this shit until somebody pays me. And yes, Netflix, $40 million.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's totally fine.
Yep.
And his next special will probably be just like all of his other shit was. It'll be awesome again. I just think he had like an axe to grind and you know what? He has every right to do that. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't as funny as I normally expect him to be. That's just all I'm going to say.
Fair enough. Tim.
Yeah.
We got questions.
We do.
I don't think we do.
I see one.
Yeah. Yeah. Trisha sent us questions.
Did she?
Yeah. Over instant message.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Okay.
I'll read the T-shirt Joe one.
Oh, so, we got a T-shirt Joe question.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah, Tim does not pick the best fucking movies, Joe.
This question is for Tim. Tim, if you were to have an NFL commentator as your podcast co-host, who would it be?
Like if Tim was doing Monday Night Football, who would be your co-host?
No, I think it's just if he had to do a podcast, but it was an NFL broadcaster, who would it be? So, Tim, you pick one, and then Kyle and I are going to pick one to torture you.
I was going to say, do I pick, like, an actual good one, or do I pick one that doesn't shut up the whole time, kind of like Terry Bradshaw?
Bradshaw doesn't do commentary, dude.
Yeah, I know, but he
And used... don't you dare say bad shit about TB12, the real TB12. You're from Pittsburgh, dude. They will revoke your Yinzer cred.
I don't know. I mean, is Al Michaels still doing it?
Yeah, he's good.
He's the anchor anymore. Yeah, he's been doing it.
I mean, I would probably take him.
Hey, Kyle.
Yes.
I think we should make him do a podcast. With Collinsworth.
With who?
Collinsworth.
No one should know. That guy should be kicked off the fucking face. They should put that guy on the space shuttle.
Did you see fucking baby Collinsworth?
Yeah, his son's doing it now. There's one thing in this fucking world when. If I hear Chris Collinsworth say the name Cooper Kupp anymore in my fucking life, that just enrages me. Shut the fuck up, Chris Collinsworth. God damn you. He's fucking terrible.
You realize somebody in the world was like, you know what we need more of on our network? We need more Collinsworth. God. Let's hire his kid.
Hopefully his kid does like the one guy did in the NFL and bite a stripper.
Yeah.
I guess that didn't work to either, so. Marv Albert's out there still talking about basketball, I think.
Yeah, he is.
You know who would be, if I'm, okay, here, I'm going to switch this question up because it's me. If I was commentating NFL Monday Night Football, I would want Will Smith. Excuse me. No, I fucked that up, Will Smith.
He slapped the shit out of you, son.
I would want Will Ferrell as my co-host.
Yeah, no, that doesn't work.
Why not? Yeah.
Because, I mean...
I have to have a football guy.
Comedians in there, and it doesn't fucking work.
Well, Dennis Miller sure didn't fucking work, and I love...
Oh, no, he didn't. A lot of it was going over people's heads, though.
Yeah, well, that's just Dennis Miller for you.
No, yeah. I'm older than you guys, and you don't remember him, but you know who was really awesome?
If you say Merlin Olsen, I'm firing you from the podcast.
Merlin Olsen was awesome. No, but I was thinking Dandy Don Meredith.
Yeah, I
remember him being on.
Yes, because he used to... He was the only guy I ever remember that actively fucked with Howard Cosell on the air.
Yeah, he did.
Got away with it for years.
Yeah, he did. I was watching Monday Night Football at that time, but wasn't taking, like, how to put it, I wasn't paying attention as much to it as time. Well, until
I think
he
was off by the early 80s or late 70s.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, I think it was on like 79. Before you were even... Yeah, I think it was like 79.
Okay, so I got to pick a different guy. You know what? And this is the God's honest truth, and I know people hate him, and I don't mind Tony Romo a bit.
I love Tony Romo now because he's going to get fired because he doesn't fucking care.
That's the best person to have up there.
Yeah, he's they were telling him you need to prepare more, so he started drinking before the show and not preparing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that is the proper half-assed way to approach your job, my friend.
Yep.
And anybody that says, why would he half-ass his job now needs to remember when he played for the Cowboys as quarterback? And you guys were always kind of good, but never really good?
Didn't he only win one playoff game or something?
I think so. Career? Well, Steelers,
all I remember is they had the Steelers beat in Pittsburgh and Heinz Field. And then that fucker just, like, threw two passes to the Steelers, and the Steelers won. And I'm like, thanks, dude. We didn't earn that one. We don't deserve that one. But that was a Christmas present from Tony Romo.
I know he came within, what, half a yard of going to the Super Bowl?
No, maybe not. Like he never got close.
Winning that playoff game would have put him in the Super Bowl. He came, like, half a yard, and he didn't make it.
No. No, I don't think he ever made an NFC Championship game.
Yeah, no, he didn't,
maybe
Kyle. I think that was the big thing. That was why I was making the joke. I don't remember that dude. Like, I think he won literally one playoff game in 14 years or something, or 13.
Yeah. Which means Neil O'Donnell won more playoff games than him, which tells you, if Neil O'Donnell's won more playoff games than you, you're a fucking shithead. Because Neil O'Donnell would have had to win two to get to the Super Bowl, where he then threw the pass. They kept throwing to fucking.
Larry Brown.
Larry Brown. Hey, he made Larry Brown a shit ton of money. Stupid fucking Raiders. Threw a bunch of money at him because he had two picks in the Super Bowl. It's like, watch the tape. Our quarterback just sucked.
So what else we got, Tim?
Let me see. You said this is under here.
It's an, okay.
No, I got.
You got him?
Yeah. Patricia. Wait, where'd it go? I didn't see it now.
Okay.
I thought it was in here.
I'll ask you. She's saying ask
here it is. Here it is.
Here. I'm taking a break from social media.
Yeah.
I got it.
Okay.
Initially, she thought that the movie that I picked was that shitty one with Adam Driver and Bill Murray. Yeah. So she wants to know, what's your favorite Adam Driver movie?
I've not seen anything, like, I don't hate that guy. I've just not seen anything where he blew my socks off yet.
Star Wars would blow.
Yeah, that's why I'm including that. I kind of want to go see that where he fights dinosaurs.
That's what I was going to say. 65 looks like it could be really cool.
Yeah,
there was like somebody on here ranting and raving that I think it was Zane Hirschberger saying that, like, it's literally just 90 minutes of... just dinosaurs fucking shit up.
I'm down for that.
That's all I require.
Yeah. Kyle and I, like, it kind of falls into that disaster movie category of give me 90 minutes of shit getting blowed the fuck up, and you have met my expectations.
Yep.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen the trailers for it, and I was kind of like, I kind of want to see this movie.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, I'm not going to go to the theater because I just don't do theaters, but
it
yeah.
looks like I would totally go. I mean, drive-in season doesn't happen for another 3 or 4 weeks, but that's a drive-in movie I'd love to see.
You know what I'm hoping is, and I hope it's opening weekend, Cocaine Bear in the drive-in, dude. Holy fuck.
One, I think the Shelbyville one that we went to, Tim, it opened this weekend, and they had Cocaine Bear and Scream 6.
That doesn't surprise me, because I know that I think there was ones opening up this weekend around here to have Scream 6.
All right. She also has a really interesting question that I don't think anybody's ever asked us. What's your favorite movie with a handicapped villain? Shouldn't we say handicapable villain?
Oh, what was it? Mr. No Legs?
Yeah, we just watched one. Mr. No Legs.
That guy fucking fucks shit up.
Badass.
I'm going to find one. I'm going to think of one. Give me a little bit. You guys go.
Mr. No Legs is good.
Yeah. I think that takes the
game. You know, if you think about it, Darth Vader is handicapped.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess. Is being half robot handicapped?
Well, he's got legs. Missing limbs. Yeah, he's missing limbs, and he's got like the galactic CPAP machine that he has to wear all the time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I got to say something about Star Wars. I've watched the first two episodes of the new season.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
I'm not into it yet. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
I'm not. It's not, I don't think, as good as anything that's come before it yet.
No, I feel like they're running out of gas. I feel like it was a mistake because I know that What's-His-Face did not intend for Baby Yoda to come back. And they did it. Disney made them do it as a marketing thing.
Well, that thing's a fucking goddamn cash machine.
Yeah. But, like, I think they're, like, forcing Baby Yoda plots on him when he wanted to move the character further out. That and the guy that plays the Mandalorian, I think, is checked out. He doesn't want to do it anymore.
Hmm.
She also asked what our favorite Bill Murray movie is. Now, that's a hard one. That's a hard one.
Our favorite Bill Murray?
Yes. Because when I was thinking about this one, I had a really deep dive. It's going to sound like I'm being a douchey film guy, but I absolutely love the movie.
I know what I'm going to say. Go.
Well, what are you going to say, Kyle?
I love Where the Buffalo Roam.
So do I. That was the douchey answer that I thought everybody would give me shit for.
Oh, I love that movie.
I would never give anybody shit for that. That movie just didn't do it for me, if that made sense.
Well, but you know, I like in high school, I was a huge, huge fan of, oh my God, why do I always forget
Hunter S. Thompson.
Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah.
And everybody was apeshit over the Johnny Depp movie, and he's awesome. But I'm like, you know, they did one before, right?
I will always go with Meatballs.
Meatballs is great, but I hate that fucking Chris Makepeace kid. I hate that fucking kid.
I get it. Oh, that's what I hate that fucking kid. Where the Buffalo Roam. I don't dislike the movie. It wasn't me, but I understand people's love for that.
Guys!
How many people are yelling at their MP3 players right now that none of us said Ghostbusters?
Guys!
Oh, yeah.
How many people are yelling at us because we didn't say Dr. No as the crippled villain? That's Donnie P.
Sorry, Mr. No Legs.
Sorry. Yeah, Mr. No Legs.
I'm going with Donnie P.
Well, you know why? Do you know why I don't go with Donnie P?
Yeah.
Because the movie's not all about him. It's about James Bond. Mr. No Legs is about Mr. No Legs.
Okay. I'm still going Donnie P.
Yeah.
Is he handicapped because he got his face burned off in Halloween?
I don't think they ever explain why he's in the wheelchair.
He's just in the wheelchair because he's bad at it. How about Professor X? Not a villain.
That's not a villain.
He's not. Yeah, okay.
No, he's a fucking X-Man.
True, but he also did some fucking terrible shit.
He's an ex. That, you know, that's the same kind of flawed logic that you think Ghoulies Go to College is a boner jam.
Ghoulies Go to College happens at college. There's all kinds. What the fuck are you? There's titties all over that movie. And they use a plunger. They use a plunger to pull the face off a lady that's naked in the bathroom. But, boner jam, all the way.
All right. So she also asked what her thoughts are on the new Children of the Corn movie. I'm just going to say that I don't watch Children of the Corn movies ever again. I got sent all of them a few years ago when they were getting released by the Harvey Bad Touch Weinstein Company to review. So I have sat through up until I watched all of the sequels from the 90s and 2000s. I'm traumatized. Those were some of the most miserable things I've ever done. So I have no thoughts on it. You guys?
Tim?
What? I blanked out.
Yeah, that's exactly how I... When somebody says that? Children of the Corn to me, I just blank out too.
Oh, yeah. I've watched all those movies. Like, none of them were real. It's funny. They were kind of laughable good, but are they memorable?
She's asking about the new one. What our thoughts are on the new one that's coming out. That is out. I think it's a remake.
It played
Yeah, it's a second remake because Sci-Fi Channel already remade it once.
Yep. Yeah.
And, like, out of the most recent ones, like, the only one that was even remotely kind of worth watching was the one called Children of the Corn Genesis with Billy Drago, and it basically had nothing to do with children or corn.
Because it's Billy Drago.
Yeah. Isn't there a couple in that series that's just, like, other movies they slap that name on?
Kind of. The Urban Harvest, I never understood. It's like a vacant lot. And I'm like,
right.
There's no fucking corn.
That was Dimension Films keeping the rights.
Oh, it's a real Hellraiser type.
Cheap ass movies to hold on to the title.
Yeah, because they did Urban Harvest, and I think forget the one right after it, because it was kind of like the thing with Prophecy 2 and 3. Was it 2 and 3 or 3 and 4? Where they made them back-to-back. They made a bunch of movies at that time. Like, back-to-back movies, kind of Full Moon style.
Oh my gosh, guys. Holy cow. I've never seen this before.
Urban Harvest?
No, I'm watching this on YouTube. It's 1988 at the Oscars, and Pee-wee Herman is on. Have you ever seen this?
Yes.
Where Ed 209 walks out on stage, and Pee-wee flies away, and then RoboCop comes out and shoots the fucking ED 209. It's amazing.
Okay. So, we got a couple more questions. What's our favorite George Hamilton movie?
I don't have one. I will pick, and I'm sure this is a thing that happened, I'm going to pick whichever Naked Gun he showed up in. I'm sure that happened, right?
If it isn't Love at First Bite, I will say it's this Dracula Live at Transylvania thing, because he was just fucking hilarious as the host.
And you guys are both wrong. Because the greatest George Hamilton movie ever is Zorro the Gay Blade.
I have always wanted to watch that.
It's actually a really funny movie. It's great.
Again, another movie I just couldn't get into.
That's because you're a homophobic.
Okay.
Yes. You clearly can't have a gay blade in any movie that you're supposed to like. I mean, if it was Blind Fury, the Gay Blade, you wouldn't even like that movie, and it had Rutger in it.
So, if that movie existed, would Rutger Hauer be the gay guy, or would the sword be gay?
Wow. It does specifically say Gay Blade.
Is the sword gay?
I'm thinking that's...
And what would that entail, like?
Well, maybe a lot of stabbing in the butt? I don't know.
I don't know.
This is the part where Tim is slowly backing away from the podcast.
I've literally
just letting Ian's dig your own hole.
I'm just asking questions over
Tim's
here.
Like, I'm not going to HR on Monday.
I've got his filmography pulled up and nothing. Nothing. I've got nothing for George Hamilton. I don't even see a movie on here that I kind of like.
Well, you're the one who picked that Dracula movie, didn't you? Or that wasn't him, was it?
That wasn't him. No, that was... Was that F. Murray Abraham? No.
Oh. Oh, shit. He was an Evel Knievel.
Well, there you go, then. Not a George Hamilton.
Oh, you guys have never seen Happy Hooker Goes to Washington either, have you?
I have not.
That's actually a really fun 70s movie.
Adam West is in that, if I'm not mistaken.
You are correct.
Yeah, maybe we did do that on the show, I think. I remember talking about Adam West like that.
Yeah.
Bullworth. I kind of like Bullworth.
But he's barely in that.
Yeah, but I mean, I see nothing that is of interest.
So Patricia also wants to know if we've ever covered Love at First Bite.
No.
No. I like it. And that's it for the questions on the chat.
Cool. Who wants to go first?
Tim.
Sure. I was going to say, I'll go first. Since no one's
Why don't you talk about the 98-pound woman who's kicking the shit out of a sumo wrestler? Yeah. Kung Fu style.
Because
She's got no problems with wet t-shirt contests, I will tell you that.
No, she isn't. She is an Asian American federal agent undercover.
Well, what's this called, Tim?
Catch the Heat, or also...
Which is also known as Feel the Heat, in case you're looking for it.
Yes.
You figure, I'll turn this dumb bastard on, and while he's huffing and puffing, you'll grab the gun, right?
Where do you think you're going? Freeze!
April Fool.
She one of you?
This team is the government's secret weapon.
Federal agents do not kick people in the head.
You're under arrest.
Freeze!
In the war on crime. They're following a trail of intrigue and murder over the hills of San Francisco to the underworld of Argentina.
You got right to work.
A hot trail to a cold-blooded killer.
You got anything on him?
Jesus, the body's washed up. I told you to anchor it, didn't I?
What do we got here?
A mutilated her breast.
To hit him where it hurts, she's got to live in the line of fire, under suspicion.
You ain't bugging me again!
And under the gun. Feel the Heat. From Sterling Silliphant, Academy Award-winning writer of The Poseidon Adventure, and In the Heat of the Night, David Dukes, Tiana Alexandra, Rod Steiger.
Who the hell are all these guys in the white hats?
Definitely not on our side.
No.
He makes being a cop an adventure. She makes it an art with a twist. When they're on fire, stand back and feel the heat.
She goes undercover as Cinderella Poo, kicking ass against the likes of Rod Steiger, Brian Thompson, and Professor Tanaka.
Yeah, Professor Tanaka.
Oh, yeah, it's literally like every 5 to 7 minutes, it's her fighting somebody, and... whoever her boss is, he's basically, how to put it, he's there for laughs, but he has faith in her. But for the most part, her real name is Checkers, and she heads from San Francisco to the Buenos Aires to track down the big boss who is sending large shipments of drugs and apparently getting chick's breasts butchered. As in order for her to get closer, she ends up being a dancer, Cinderella Poo, and basically
not the greatest stage name.
No, but it was one of the funniest because one by one she brings down the bad guys until she figures out Rod Steiger, who is Hannibal, is the actual big boss, and it's just the dialogue is funny, the fight scenes were actually entertaining, and the movie overall, it didn't have too many, like, it didn't slow up.
No.
It seemed like they had the right combination, and I wish I would have heard about this movie years ago, because I enjoyed the movie. It wasn't perfect, but it was fun, it was enjoyable, and it was just something different to watch. What did you guys think of this?
Go, John.
Very, I don't think the pacing is great. I think the pacing is awful. You know, because they like that last big shootout scene at the mansion goes on and on. And the way that they're dodging bullets, it's like a fucking A-Team episode.
Are you talking about like how they're ducking?
Yeah. and doing quips like, I only count in English when it's an American grenade. You know, it's just really, really, like, I found the movie to be excruciatingly slow and boring at times. I also want to let everybody know, you mentioned two names, Rod Steiger and Brian Thompson. Yes. Rod Steiger is phoning this in.
He's sitting at a desk. Oh, yeah. That's what he's doing.
Brian Thompson is fucking incredible.
He is.
He's awesome in this, but he's in it for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Three of the best fucking lines in this movie are either said by Brian Thompson or said to Brian Thompson. Ass on the grass, honey, I'm going to mow your lawn, as he's about to sexually molest our lead actress. When he finds out she's a cop and he gets arrested, you get April Fool, motherfucker. and then when her boss is trying to get him to give up his suppliers, he takes a gun, a revolver, and plays Russian roulette with his penis. And he says the classic line as he's firing on empty cylinders, give me a name or I'll give you a vagina.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's in the first 5 minutes. And I'm like, oh, ho, 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 ho. And then it slows. And then we keep getting like extended kung fu scenes where she's a very beautiful woman.
Sure.
But she's maybe 5 foot tall. And if she weighs 98 pounds soaking wet, that would be a lot. And they have her like giving little love taps on the cheeks and guys going flying.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I'm watching the movie. And I know everybody's like, well, you know, you're being blah, blah, blah. Well, no. Listen, I love me some 90s and 80s cheesy fucking female-led action movies. I love this shit, all right? But this woman has nothing on Cynthia Rothrock.
Right.
No.
Right?
No,
her
no.
movies are way better than this. And I don't know, man. I get that there's an 80s cheese factor here. It's a low-budget Z-grade action movie. But it's spending way too much time trying to be funny. Mm-hmm. And not enough time trying to actually make the action sequences enjoyable. And then when you get to that extended one at the end, I'm just kind of like, get on with it, right?
I'll say this. I would never sit there and say this is like better than a Cynthia Rothrock stuff.
Well, no.
It just hit me at the right time.
Yeah. Hey, like, I know that's not really fair of me because, you know, for those of us in the know, Cynthia Rothrock can actually whoop ass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like when she does her stunts and when she does her fight scenes, they look really good and really real because she's actually
legit.
She's a time a champion Something. Martial artist. And she actually can do the stuff. And this is so they had a lot more to work with her. It was a lot easier to fit her in that role. And I also think the lead actress here is not a very good actress. After she did this, she made like one other movie and then she disappeared. So, I mean, this was like her shot at having a career and it just flopped.
Right. I liked her. I thought she was pretty cool. Yeah, you're right. You guys are right. Like, she's no Cynthia Rothrock or anything. But, man, she was pretty cool, I thought. And this movie is like, this is one of those movies that would have been in like the shitty B action martial arts section that I think
I've been chilling with Gary Danielson movies.
Right. I never, like, this was sitting right between like Snake Eater 1 and Snake Eater 3 with Bam Bam Bigelow. And I would have never, that was one section of the video store I think I got like I would. I think I got the good ones. Like I would rent Beverly, the Taking of Beverly Hills every once in a while. Showdown in Little Tokyo. Best of the Best 2 is probably the best karate movie that would have been in this section, but I avoided getting any of this karate chop 90s shit at the video store when I was renting movies. So, I mean, going back, I've really never found any gems other than those ones I talk about. This one's okay. I don't think I'm the wrong, like, this is not my cup of tea, but this one is pretty good. Brian Thompson, I love when that dude shows up in anything. Yeah, Rod Steiger is there sitting behind a desk collecting a paycheck. And that's
now,
about
weren't
it.
Weren't you bummed, though, that Brian Thompson, like, never shows up again?
Right, yeah, you want
because
Brian
that's the
Thompson
best part of the
as
movie.
Your main bad guy.
Exactly. Let Brian Thompson be doing his scummy Brian Thompson things on. I kept hoping, like, hey, he's going to show up. He busted out of jail.
Yeah.
No, it's just you get, like, 3 minutes of him, and then he's done.
Right. So I don't know if I – like, I'm the wrong guy to be taking recommendations of this type of genre, but –
So, can I ask you guys a question?
I didn't dislike this movie. Yeah, go ahead.
Did you watch, Tim, too, did you guys watch the VHS rip that's on YouTube?
Yes,
I did.
The one that has all the previews before the movie?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
I think I need to see Supergrass. He sinks a sailboat with a chainsaw.
We saw Donald Pleasance destroy a bar with a chainsaw.
Did
once.
You? Well, I'm watching this. I'm going, okay, Kyle has got to want to see this movie.
Yeah. Because
a guy wades out into the water with a chainsaw and just starts chainsawing a sailboat until it sinks.
Yes.
I think that's Robbie Coltrane, too.
Oh. Mark it down, dude.
It's a comedy, but it looks pretty fucking awesome. I'm like, okay. You know, and again, guys, I'm not going to say this is... Well, I think it's a shit movie. I didn't like it, but I'm comparing it to the gold standard of action B action movies, which is Cynthia Rothrock, and that's probably not fair.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, like when she takes out the big guy and is doing like the spinning, and he's clearly like holding her up at points.
Oh yeah,
I'm just like, this is some bullshit.
But that scene with the t-shirt, woohoo! Goddamn, I watched that twice.
Well, she's fucking topless and she has a shower scene.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh no, she's a beautiful woman.
Yeah, it kind of sucks that she didn't catch on.
Well, I think she didn't catch on because I don't think she's a very good actress.
Well,
I mean, did you guys really not notice her stumbling over lines constantly?
I just felt like it was part of the movie. I was just enjoying it.
I'm not expecting a Daniel Day-Lewis performance over here.
No, but I do expect to be able to get the dialogue out without, like, pausing and thinking about what you're saying.
I never noticed any of that shit, dude. And I'll tell you what, I never noticed that. I couldn't tell you if a guy was wearing a wig in a fucking movie. I am so bad at that.
Wigs and shit like that, dude. I don't care. I'm telling you, if an actor or actress cannot get through their dialogue, that's a deal breaker.
Mm. Well, this shit was shelf filler, dude. I don't think that quality was job number one over there at fucking Kung Fu Movie Palace, wherever this was.
This is actually an Argentinian and American production. So this was partially shot in San Francisco. This is just a low budget action movie that was funded partially in Argentina and partially here.
Well, I'll tell you what, it ain't no Ninja Busters. That's my review of this movie.
Yeah.
Oh God, John, you picked a movie.
Yeah, I picked 1975's The Dead Don't Die. This is a made for TV movie. You can find it on YouTube. So Don Drake is visiting his brother on death row on the night of his brother's execution. This is set in the 30s, by the way.
This is the George Hamilton.
Yeah.
This is set in the 30s.
So he's visiting his brother on death row. And the brother keeps proclaiming his innocence and says somebody else murdered his wife. And he gets his brother to promise to try to prove his innocence because he knows he's going to go to the chair. But he's like, try to prove that I'm innocent. I don't want people to think I killed my wife. After his brother is executed, Don heads to Chicago to try to prove it, and that leads him down a strange road in meeting the friends that his brother had made. That includes a dance hall owner, a mysterious woman who tries to warn him off, and somebody who looks just like his brother who seems to be stalking him. And finally, we find that there's a zombie master named Varric who controls a whole stable of undead. So what it is there's like a whole, like, there's a zombie master, basically. He's got a bunch of zombies that he commands. The woman, Vera, kind of falls in love with Don, but luckily before it gets too far and there's any real loving, we find out that she's actually a zombie, so she's dead. And Varric finds out she's helping Don. So, he just basically causes her to catch on fire and burn to, like,
you know,
a
what
pile
they say.
Of...
You know what they say about dead girls, John? Dead girls don't say no.
Watch Mortuary Academy, brother. I talked about it last time. Because then you and Parabolic Tail will be on the same page.
Okay.
That would have been awkward had he banged a dead chick, but he didn't. And then it all wraps up in a satisfying twist ending where Don goes to a morgue and does battle with Varric, who turns out to be somebody else. I'm not going to ruin things for you, but it turns out to be somebody else who was he thought was his friend, but turns out to be a bad guy. But if you've ever watched a movie like this, you're like, yeah, that guy's up to no fucking good. And then it's you think he's beat the zombie master, but you find out you can't keep a good zombie master down.
Because they don't say no either.
So I personally really dug the scene in the mortuary at the end with the zombie shop owner coming out of it. Or no, I'm sorry. At the funeral home where the zombie shop owner comes out of his casket and goes after Dawn. You got the graveyard scene with a hand popping out, which is kind of spooky and cool. I love the twist ending. And they also, like, even though it's 1975, but they put a lot of classic Hollywood people that might have been working in the 30s and 40s during, like, film noir and shit like this. You get, Hollywood royalty like Joan Blondell, Ralph Meeker, Ray Milland, Yvette Vickers. George Hamilton is really good. The story was written by Robert Block, who, obviously Psycho and a bunch of other cool shit. I think the pacing is really good. It's made for TV movie, so they keep it tight and they move along things quickly. It's under 90 minutes. In fact, it's only 74 minutes long. So they just kind of set it up, get them to Chicago, and just it's bam, 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 bam until you get to the ending. It is a made for TV movie, so don't expect a lot of gore or a lot of special effects work. I was surprised how well they pulled off 1930 Chicago on that budget. I'm thinking they must have had shit lying around on the sound stages and in the back lots to make that happen, because they certainly weren't going to build anything for a made-for-TV movie. But I think the production value is good. I think the movie's paced well. I love the cast. I love the story. It plays like a film noir, but it's also very much a horror movie. There are some spooky bits, like I said, with the funeral home and the graveyard. And it just, to me, I'm watching it, I'm like, this is a harmless 74 minute long made for TV movie that it was something different. It was something you wouldn't normally make anymore. You're not going to see a movie like this again. And I just dug it. And it was it's a more classic take on zombies again. It's 75, but they kind of went back to the old school, voodoo zombies, basically. It's all voodoo. Yeah. So, what did you guys think?
Go ahead, Tim.
You pointed out the film noir thing and stuff like that. I was with you on that. It for me, I didn't hate it, but I also didn't fall in love with the movie. I thought it was an odd mix of everything they were doing. Like you said, for a TV movie, it was kind of a strange mix, and for them to actually pull it off. So I'm right with you on having all the sets and everything. I thought they did a great job of showing, like, making you feel like it's in the 30s. I thought they did a great job on that. This is one of those things I would actually recommend to people that are looking for something offbeat, not your usual, like, they're not looking for horror. They're looking for something kind of weird. This is a nice movie
kind of a quirky twist.
Yeah. That's how I was looking at it in that
It'd be a good double feature with like Cast a Deadly Spell or something like that.
That's not a bad idea.
That's I mean, Cast a Deadly Spell, in my opinion, is a way better movie.
It's good, yes.
But no, it has that same kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, Fred Ward, baby.
Yeah, but that for me, I didn't love it, but I was glad I watched it, if that makes sense.
Makes total sense. Me, on the other hand, whew, boy, man, when you, if you want to turn me off of a movie instantly, film noir is not my cup of tea. It is the anti-me. I do not give a shit about film noir. Now, having said that, I kind of like it when they mix film noir with other stuff, like Cast a Deadly Spell. Like, I really love Dark City, and there's a lot of film noir in that movie. This one, it just, there wasn't anything for me to grab onto. I did like Tim said, how they made it look like I was buying that it was the 30s, and I really, especially like when they went to the dance contest, or the, what do they call those things?
Yeah,
the dance-a-thon.
The everybody doing the jitterbug and shit.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's totally a 30s thing. If you understand what that is, that's pretty cool, because, yeah, they would just dance until they pass out, and the last one alive won. Unless you're the Fonz, you know. They did that on Happy Days once at the best episode ever. This isn't a Kyle movie. I'll put it that way. George Hamilton was pretty cool. I liked him. Ray Milland fucking show up in anything, and it's cool. But this one just didn't. Yeah, it's just pass for me. I don't have anything really overly negative to say about it, but this is just not my type of thing.
Kyle doesn't like good movies.
I don't like fucking film noir, dude. I couldn't give two shits about film noir.
Well, and this isn't straight up film noir,
right?
But you know, it mixes some other shit in.
The detective and the I just don't care.
Yeah.
If you're gonna get a detective in my movie, it better be fucking Tom Atkins. That's all I got to say. It's on YouTube. Yeah, it is. Like Tim said, yeah, it's off the beaten path.
I personally, I gotta tell you guys, I'm really enjoying, because I'm really, the last few weeks I've been doing a pretty deep dive on made for TV movies. And after watching something like The Brain Machine, I cling on to things like The Dead Don't Die, because I'm like, oh, that didn't make me miserable. I went to run in plane traffic.
So. That's always a plus for any movie.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I picked a movie that I'd own. My pick this week was Invaders from Mars, the original, I believe,
1953.
Yeah.
Gee whiz!
Invaders from Mars. He saw them land from outer space. He saw them capture innocent people only to destroy. Father turned against son. People changed into strange, weird animals. A general of the army becomes a saboteur. Trusted police turned into arsonists. The boy's parents changed into killers.
But nobody's getting anywhere out there. Nobody can locate anything. Anybody. The Martians. We've got to start the...
Invaders from Mars. Capturing humans at will for their own sinister purposes. Turning them into diabolical instruments of destruction. Invaders from Mars, weird, fantastic beings of a super intelligence, ruling a race of synthetic humans and pitting them against mankind's dream to conquer the universe.
I'm a huge fan, and I did do a rewatch of the remake, the Tobe Hooper remake, this week. I think that movie is underrated and so much fun, and Tobe Hooper, around that time, his movies did, like, it'll go and set it up, but at the end of, like, any movie around this time, and it's a Tobe Hooper movie, just the last half of it will descend into just goddamn fucking chaos on the screen, and it does. So I wanted to go back. I'd seen this movie before, but it is, I don't know, how did you guys watch this? Did you watch it on YouTube, or?
I found it on Tubi, I believe.
Yeah, I
watched. I have the Criterion.
Okay, so I gotta recommend, if you want to watch this movie, watch it cleaned up, because Tubi had a shit copy. YouTube had the exact same copy that Tubi did, because it's like, I don't know if you noticed it, Tim, like when the title card comes up, half of the I and half of the S are like cut off of Invaders from Mars. I think the ratio is fucked up there, but it's grainy as all hell. But having said that, I do want to see a really good cleaned up movie, because as grainy and shitty as it was, I love this movie because of, it's just got this weird fucking vibe about it, man. It's like colorful as shit, and somebody behind the scenes knew what they were doing. Like, this movie, first of all, it is short. And just like The Dead Don't Die, modern filmmakers, I've been seeing a lot of people fucking complain about it. Fuck off with your 2-hour, 20-minute movies. Man, movies that are that long tend not to stick in my head. I think a movie an hour and a half is perfect. But, and this is, I believe, like an hour and 10? I'm going to look that up.
It was shot, it's my understanding it was shot as the bottom bill of a double feature.
Yeah, it seemed like that.
And ended up being better than most of the features, and they kind of flopped them when it released. So, no, you do know why.
Invaders from Mars is? Like, actually, it doesn't say how long it is. Here it is, hour 18.
Yeah.
So it's 78 minutes.
Yeah. You do know why that the visuals jumped out to you, right?
I figured somebody behind the scenes was really good at their fucking job.
No, that was purposeful.
Yeah.
If you remember, and again, I'm not going to give you much of a spoiler warning, folks, if you're listening.
This is a movie from 1953, for fuck's sake.
All right, yeah. We're talking 70 years old now? Okay, whatever. The movie, you know, the kid sees his dad, and it gets really repetitive. People keep going out into the field, and coming back changed,
falling down that hole.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, some adults go from not believing him to suddenly going, "Oh my god, this has happened!" And it seems like there's all these like logical leaps and all these leaps in logic that don't make any sense.
Yeah,
and the whole thing with the aliens thinking that a rocket project that David's father's working on is going to be a threat—it's all this weird shit. And it doesn't
make a whole lot of
sense.
Are you telling me there's a lot of fucking shit cut out of this?
Right. No. And there's nothing cut out of it. Mm. Because the whole point of the plot not making sense is the same reason the set design is so fucking weird. Okay. It's a dream.
Interesting.
It's a little kid's dream.
Yeah.
So he's not dreaming logically.
Yeah, you could really...
If you look at, you're talking about how bright the colors are. The set design is fucked. It's weird.
I figured they did that because, especially like when the kid goes to the cops and tries to talk.
Yeah, it's like all forced perspective.
Yeah, from a kid's point of view.
Exactly. You're watching it. You're experiencing the story as a kid would. So like all the forced perspective, people are way bigger than you would expect them to.
Yeah.
The doors are kind of off kilter. Everything's fucking weird because it's a dream and you're seeing the dream as if you were the kid.
That's super cool.
That is amazing. The thought and effort put into that is absolutely amazing and great, and I will cut them all the slack in the world for an illogical plot, because in the end, they explain to you what was going on. And if you pay attention, you're like, oh, shit, I get it. And I've, like I said, I spent money on a really beautiful version of this movie.
I'm going to have to.
I do watch this movie every few years, but I have to warn anybody listening that hasn't watched it yet. It is not snooty level sci-fi, but it's, if you're looking for an alien invasion movie or a giant bug movie,
this is not it.
This is not it for you. This is a little bit like, and I'm talking about the forced perspective and the weird color palette and the fact that it's a dream and the fact that everything's kind of weird.
The fact that the aliens don't show up until like maybe the last 20 minutes.
They don't show up until the last 20 minutes, if that. And you are living in this kid's nightmare throughout the entire movie. Literally, you're experiencing a child's nightmare. And it's a very creative attempt at making a genre flick like this in the 50s. And that's probably why this one is held in such high esteem. But it's not... I like the movie, but I will warn people, even at an hour and 18 minutes, it can be slow at times.
A little bit.
It can be
repetitive.
I do have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you would know, John. Kate was watching some of it. Mm-hmm. And she was wondering, she's like, was this like on stage? Like, did they grab like the Wizard of Oz stage?
It sure feels like they were doing it on like a set of Our Town or something.
No, they actually did not use any. They built all the sets for this.
Okay, or is it just part of the dream?
The set designer was basically told. It, again, this is what I've read. I don't know anybody. I haven't talked to anybody that worked on the movie. But what I've read is the set designer was told, let in on the fact that, hey, we're gonna make this movie, and it looks like it's a regular old science fiction movie, but the entire thing is going to be set from the perspective of a kid having a nightmare.
Yeah.
And that is also why, because remember, this movie came out in 1953.
Yeah.
That another thing that cost them money that was a controversial decision, but that the director, the art director, everybody involved said, we have to shoot this in color.
Mm.
Because think about the early 50s, even through the late 50s, how many science fiction and horror movies did you see that are color?
Well, shit, Leave It to Beaver was still around, and that was black and white.
That's television, dude. That's completely different.
I know, but...
Yeah.
Like, because television took a long time to go
to
color for the simple fact that why would we bother shooting in color? Nobody owns a color TV set. They did not shoot a whole lot of... And this was not high budget. It wasn't low budget, but it wasn't like a mark. And this point in the 50s, like, color was saved for giant CinemaScope huge releases.
Yeah.
And it was unusual for a movie like Invaders from Mars to be shot in color. But they fought for it, and they got it because it's like the set design, the color palette, it's all important in telling the story. And again, it sounds really snooty and film schooly and my fart don't smell kind of argument, but... That's what they were doing with this film.
Well, the plot synopsis in a nutshell is as follows. You've got this kid. I love this kid. His name is Jimmy Hunt. He looks like the kid from 1950s. Every kid looked like this in my head. He is the atypical 1950s kid. He's got a dad that works in a quote-unquote, like, on a secret project. And that project is, we're going to Mars. And we have a rocket. And we're going to get there. And because there may be, you know, it's Mars. We're going there. He's got a wife. One night during, you know, little fucking David's got a telescope. He's looking up in the stars with his dad, who... they kind of say is an astronomer, but not really. They see
his dad works on a rocket, secret rocket program.
Yeah, they never really say what he does. No. But David
again, sees, it plays into the kid's dream.
Right, David sees a fucking giant UFO land behind his house in the sand pit, and I think the set they have for the sand pit, which I think is pretty iconic because they show it a million fucking times. And they redo it perfect in the remake of just this picket fence going up this hill at this crazy angle into the sand. And as soon as I see that, my mind, oh, that's Invaders from Mars. So, you know, David's dad goes out there and he comes back changed. He comes back completely, I'm not going to say emotionless, but he is an asshole. He smacks the shit out of little fucking David for not listening to what he does. And he has a scar on his neck. Anyway, it's a lot of Invasion of the Body Snatchers type shit. Everybody's kind of slowly getting taken over as they go into this. Everybody and their brother's falling in this hole in the sand pit. It's hilarious. The little girl next door who kills her dad and then sets the house on fire, which is pretty crazy. The chief of police gets taken over immediately. That was my favorite scene, is when he tried to go into the cop station to talk to the chief of police. And the whole time I'm watching this movie, I was not there, obviously, but I could see the kids in the theater in 1953 eating this shit up and just going fucking bananas watching this movie. I'll have to ask my dad. He was probably this age, as if he went and seen this. But man, those kids had to have been hooting and hollering and throwing popcorn. So anyway, I like this because the kid immediately, he kind of like Monster Squads the whole thing, where he just calls the military and the military show up. It's kind of cool. If you like stock footage of trains being loaded with tanks, there's a fucking shitload of stock footage in this of old military shit. And like I said, the aliens in the back, they have a laser that can shoot tunnels, and that's how they hide the ship, and they make all the tunnels, and they're taking over the people, and it is a very long time before the aliens show up. And the alien design in here is just basically guys in green felt suits, which I at one point you can literally see the zipper going up the back of one guy. And this really cool, like, head in a spear with, it's just a guy's head with tentacles coming out of his shoulder. And it's pretty, it's
one of the most classic.
Yeah, it's cool looking. It actually shows up in the remake in the basement of the place. They kind of poke it and they're like, what the fuck? It's pretty cool. I love this movie. I hadn't seen this but once, and this movie really stuck in my head as like this. Oh, there's my dad right now. Hold on. Really stuck in my head is like this oddball fucking great ass movie, and that's exactly what it is. What'd you think about it, Tim?
I love it. Well, I wouldn't say love it, but I enjoy it. It's fun. I like the ending of how it ended. I totally forgot about that, all that, because that explains a lot and mm-hmm. what happened and how it's seen. And I think it's still, it allows you to decide, was it all a big dream, or decide like, okay, is this happening with this kid, stuff like that. But it is one of those fun movies that, like you said, you were describing the kids in the 50s watching this at the theater or watching this at the drive-in. It's fun stuff. It is a, how to put it, it's kind of, I think it was out before it. I could be wrong in this. Out before Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Kind of like It's kind of like
a Body Snatchers came out later.
Okay, yeah, it's kind of like a prequel to that.
Yeah.
And which was a lot of fun.
What do you think about the remake, guys? I love the remake so much.
I don't like it.
Really? Annoying as shit in the remake.
It removes everything that's creative and special about the original. And it boils it. There's a lot of things you can remake and just remake as a straight, like, monster movie or alien invasion movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit you can do with that that would be fun. But this movie was never that movie. And to take it and sort of turn it into what you would expect it to be, I was disappointed because Tobe Hooper sung the praises of this movie for years.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to remake it, and I think he missed the point of what it was. So I've always been disappointed in it.
Oh, I love it. What do you think, Tim? Mm.
I like the remake, but yeah. I felt like this one just has that everlasting magic if it's shown on a horror host show kind of deal. Where the other ones, exactly. Yeah. It's just it's fun. It still has something there that you can relate to or watch and enjoy. So,
can I ask you guys a question?
Go ahead.
Without looking and cheating, how old do you think the child actor was when they made the movie?
11.
8.
14.
Jeez.
Wow.
He doesn't.
It was one of those situations where he could play a lot younger than he was.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I bought him as a little kid.
Yeah. But that's also probably why, because, you know, the thing none of us mentioned is he's really, really good.
Yeah.
And you know, what's amazing about this movie is it's his nightmare, it's his story, and the entire story and movie hangs on him. So if the kid is not a good performer, it would have sunk the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And they did magic here. They got a kid, obviously a 14-year-old that could play younger, and he carries the movie, which is absolutely amazing.
Which I will say this, if you watch that remake, the kid in the remake with this, he's just running and flailing his arms through the whole thing. But James Caan in that movie has put in work. That is a great James Caan performance.
Did you know that the kid from this movie, you know, there's a sheriff that goes out to the field. He has one line.
I didn't know that was the kid.
That's the kid.
I didn't know that. I'd have to.
Yeah, and he, it's the character that walks out there and goes, I haven't been here in like 40 years.
Is he with another guy?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, he's the only actor that was in both of them, but they brought him back and he walks out there and drops that like it's one of those things if you don't know who it is and you're not in on the joke, you won't get it.
No, I get it. But anyway, that's Invaders from Mars from 1953. I'm gonna have to get that Criterion disc because I want a really good copy of this. Seems like it'd play much better than these crappy ones that we have. That's a wasteland fucking buy, maybe.
You're not gonna find that.
I'll find it somewhere. I got Amazon for fuck's sakes. Anyway, next
week. Yeah, I mean, you're not. It's not something somebody's gonna just have at their table.
Maybe.
There's actually, you know, it looks like there's a lot. I don't know that there's. I have to go back and check.
Didn't this just get put out again recently? I thought it did. I don't know. Anyway, what are you guys wanting to do for next week?
What was it? John said Nightlife.
I'm doing Nightlife from 1989. If you guys have a problem, it's on the Magic website.
Okay.
Let me go grab this link for you now. I want to do Death Mask from 1998. It has Linnea Quigley and James Best from Dukes of Hazzard in it.
Oh, dude,
man.
Have you watched it before?
Is that the one where they're at the carnival?
That's why I want to watch it.
Is that the one there at the carnival?
Yes, it's a piece of shit.
I remember when Tim found this.
When I interviewed James years ago, he was like, I hated that. That was the most miserable time of my life.
Oh, God. Well,
here is it again, 1988?
1989.
Yeah, he had nothing good to say about that film.
Well,
excellent.
I'm not going to send you the link, but my movie is on the Magic website. I want to do 1981's Fear No Evil. It looks like...
Oh, wow. I have a DVD of that somewhere.
It looks like a high school possession movie crossed with, like, an Omen ripoff crossed with, like, maybe Gay Panic. It looks interesting as hell. That's what I'm going to do.
What movie is that again?
Fear No Evil from 1981. It's on the Magic Fires. It's on the Magic website. I checked earlier. It's there.
So, and Tim, where's yours at?
Magic website, too. He sent the link.
Death Mask?
That's on YouTube. I sent a link.
Yeah, I got it. It's on there. Fucking hey, Roscoe Kyle. P. Coltrane. What?
I don't think there's actually an Invaders from Mars Criterion. I have a weird Blu-ray 4K release. I'm sorry.
Oh no, there's a cleaned up version out there.
Yeah, there's a 4K Blu-ray, and I think it's like $80.
Yeah, I don't need it that bad. I'll get it somehow.
Yeah. And there is a height, an HD special edition you can watch and stream on Prime Video. So.
Oh, cool! I have that now.
Yeah.
Anyway, so anybody got anything to pimp, sirs?
Allow me to repimp. Oh, Death Mask is from 1998.
1998. I'm sorry, John. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was reading it wrong.
Yeah. Allow me to pimp out again Grindhouse Resurrection issue 2. If you are interested in getting that Mike Lackey exclusive interview, as well as an amazing interview with William Winkler, who's the son of one of the Little Rascals and did like Double D Avenger and a bunch of movies like that. You can email 42nd Street Pete at Mr. 42nd Street Pete, all spelled out, Street Pete, at yahoo.com. And he will get you a copy in the mail after you send him some money. And I guess there's one last thing I wanted to give you guys insight into my personality. Did you know that I wanted to be a doctor when I grew up?
No.
Nope.
Yeah. Sadly, I didn't have the patience.
No, I knew it was coming. I knew it was fucking coming. I got no jokes.
I was just going to say, for anybody that likes independent films, check out grossfest.com. See you on August 5th.
We will be there. And with that, goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Turn out the lights. The party's over. They say that all good things must end. Call it a night. The party's over, and tomorrow starts the same old thing again.